What is good, everybody? Talking about practice, Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show begins momentarily. It is Monday, August 12th, which I was just informed of. Thank you, boys. 5:30 in the evening. Once again, that means Talking About Practice, Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show, is up next. The world's greatest sports talk radio show, according to that one guy we met outside of Banshee that was stumbling around drunk and recognized who we were by our voices. Shouts to you.
The most sense he's ever made.
Yep, the most sense he's ever made. I'm juiced about this show because we got the whole entire squad, all the TBP members in here today. So it should be a good time. Before we get it on here, let me rephrase that. Before we start the show,
okay, Marvin Gaye,
let's get it on.
Yeah, whole squad.
Whole squad about to get it on. Oh boy, it's going to be a long one. Talk About Practice is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters such as yourselves, and by Mountain Sports, providing outdoor clothing and equipment for hiking, cross-country skiing, camping, and to just enjoy the great outdoors. Mountain Sports is located in downtown Chico at 176 East 3rd Street. Their telephone number, 345-5011. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's get it on.
We talking about practice. Not a game, not a game. Not a game. We talking about practice. It's easy to sum it up. We just talk about practice. I mean, listen, we talking about practice. I mean, how silly is that? Man, we talking about practice. Talking about practice, man.
Yes, indeed. We are talking about practice, the world's greatest sports talk radio show. I'm your host, Jarrell Gilbert. Alongside me, as always, my player, partner, for real, Derek Isumaki.
What's good, party people?
We have Jordan Booth, a.k.a. DJ J-Pounds, in the building.
What's good, everybody?
My man, John Lukin, a.k.a. Sonny Slim.
What it do?
And Bradley Feingold, our stat and producer extraordinaire. Statman, bro, what's giddy?
Yeah!
All right, so it's been a while since the whole team's been here. This is kind of nice.
Other than last week.
Yeah, I feel like...
Yeah, we were here last week.
Oh, yeah, right, okay, right. All right, well...
It's been happening quite often lately.
Okay, well, you have a point.
All right.
But it feels like a family reunion. It's nice to have everyone here.
The cousin!
Where are we getting the t-shirts, man?
So we got a bunch of stuff to get to. We got some MLB on the way, looking to the futures. I gotta hate on some stuff. That's yes. Always fun. I'm sure Derek's gonna hate on some stuff, because the one reason Derek and I have been such good friends for so long is because the one thing that bonds the two of us is our hatred for most things.
I really feel that it's a great way to build relationships.
It really is. If you have a commonality in hating something, it makes it really easy.
I once heard there was a dating app out there that was focused on that, like about hate. And I was like, I really need to get on that, because I really need to find my one, two.
I'm always super excited when I see you guys coming in a good mood, because I know you're about to hate on something.
That means hate will ensue shortly. So let's before we dive all the way in, I kind of want to start with this, because I think this is the natural starting place. Alex Rodriguez got $500,000 worth of jewelry and electronics stolen from his car in San Francisco last night. All I got to say is, welcome to the Bay, son. That's how we treat you out of town.
That much jewelry in a
granted,
car.
I bet you it's probably just like one ring and like one really nice device. Because let's face it, a ring they're probably rocking is well into five figures.
It was J-Lo's like diamond encrusted MacBook Pro or something.
Exactly.
I just felt like we needed to shout out the Bay. That's what happens to you out of town, is you come here and you think you can leave stuff in your car. Not in the city, son.
I will say, when we were there last weekend, we were up at a place that had a ton of signage that said, don't leave valuables in your car, hide them. where we left a car completely unlocked with keys in the middle of the closet. Yes.
With all of our belongings.
All of
stuff,
everything.
All of the belongings.
That we came there with were in that car.
The views were worth it, though. Yeah. You know what I mean?
The views were worth it. Yeah. Welcome to the Bay, son. Yo, so let's get into this NCAA rule. You hit us about this last week.
Yep.
Brad, you put it in the rundown.
Yep.
And we're actually going to start there. We could start with football. We could start with Antonio Brown's helmet issues because there's so much comedy that goes along with that. But I want to start there. Can you kind of explain, give people the footnotes, if you will?
So here's basically what happens. NCAA wanted to make a rule. This one makes no sense. So for NCAA or even a high school student to test the waters in for pros, the agent has to have a bachelor's degree from college. And he has to be approved by the NBA Players Association, an approved agent. And then also take a test at the NCAA headquarters or somewhere in NCAA-related buildings. It's, I mean, that's basically it. That's all I've gotten so far. I'm starting to read a little bit more into the rules.
Sure.
But
so,
I mean, let's first backtrack even more. Yes. Right now they're allowing NCAA players at this point in time to have some type of agent at this point. That's kind of like more of the big
if
news.
They don't get,
and if they don't go into the NBA, then they're not. They don't ruin their eligibility.
So they're back into the draft. Back. Yes. Exactly. So they can come back. But now they have to meet all these qualifications or else they can't come back. And there's already a player that's been suspended 9 games for doing something similar. So
let's just talk about what this is. Let's just cut through it. What it is a direct response from the NBA and the NCAA to Rich Paul, who is running Rexshod over this league right now. Rich Paul is LeBron James' boy. He runs Clutch Sports Agency, and he is behind some major moves like Anthony Davis to the Lakers. This is an interesting situation in that no NBA player has ran a shadow agency before, right? And we know, okay, LeBron James is indirectly related to this. LeBron James is directly related to Rich Paul's success as a or put him in a position to be successful as a sports agent. Is that
only Brian Windhorst has rode the coattails further than this guy?
The whole Mav Carter too.
Okay, there we go.
But basically, Rich Paul, Mav Carter, both lifetime friends of LeBron James. Rich Paul worked for CAA, the world's biggest agency. A talent agency, I should say. And since then, since starting his own thing, has become incredibly effective and powerful within NBA circles and has been behind a lot of the major moves over the last few years. And Adam Silver said this offseason that they had to do something about all this tampering that is going on. And I feel like this is a direct result of what the NBA and NCAA is trying to do to take some of that power away from Rich Paul in particular. Would you guys agree with that assessment?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sounds accurate.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I feel like it's not really a direct response in the sense of like it maybe just makes people like Rich Paul think a little bit more when they do things, because you know that at the end of the day, in order to operate the way you operate, you're going to need the backing of the NCAA or the NBA. So, I mean, other than that, it really doesn't – I don't see it that big of a thing. But
I just don't understand – I mean, I feel like it's a slippery slope when it comes to putting a stipulant on degrees. And, I mean,
yes.
Well, granted, they took that stipulation away.
Right, right. They rescinded it because of all the backlash. Yeah. But I feel like it's a direct response to maybe not necessarily Rich Paul, but what he's setting a precedent for. You know what I mean? I mean, all these people that can come and see – you know, like when we were young – you know, when we were – younger, we look back on our parents or even our grandparents, and it was like, oh, you know, they didn't go to school. They forged, you know, a career path and all this stuff throughout school. So what's to say that, you know, a guy coming out of not even necessarily poverty, but just not choosing the school route that can't still end up? I mean, it's a certification program to be an agent.
I feel like it's the NCAA's way of trying to stay relevant, or at least colleges in general trying to stay relevant in sports. Because let's face it, they really shouldn't be involved in sports whatsoever. Be involved in the education of people's of our, the youth and the people that go there, not in making money off of your athletes. However, this is their only way to do so. when they make tons of money off mm-hmm. these guys. So this is their way of trying to make sure that they are still a valid entity in the whole process. Because let's face it, the only thing that a college really offers these guys is connections.
Yep.
Yeah.
And these guys are getting connections without these schools right now.
Yeah.
And that's a scary spot for them because they're realizing, okay, we no longer are needed. Because let's face it, the stuff they learn in these schools are not nowhere near as good as actually being LeBron James' agent.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, so, no degree can teach you what.
No, exactly. So no matter what, these schools are really just trying to maintain their power that they have over this entity of sports.
Well, it's an antiquated system. If you're Zion Williamson, why do you need to go to class? Honestly, why do you need to go to class? Why do you need to take History 101? Why do you need to take Intro into...
I really wonder what his class schedule was.
I mean, it was probably a lot of online classes. I'm just speculating. Who knows?
But the fact classes. Bet he had all A's, though.
Probably. I'm just saying...
Let's go for an A-B average. Like, come on, let's be realistic
here. If you are no going suspicion. To be... If you are a five-star recruit, if after a season it's pretty clear you are going to be a first-round draft pick, what real value are you getting from college? In fact, to me, it is taking away from you actually learning your craft and learning your profession. Yeah. Granted, that only applies to 0.5% of the student-athletes out there, right? But there's got to be a better way, a better system for these athletes, or a degree we can give these guys and tailor an entire program around these male and female college athletes where they can actually learn valuable stuff that is going to help them in their professional athletic career instead of going learning history again or English. Why do they even teach English in college? We just got 12 years of it. But that's a story for
another day. I obviously feel if we want to look at a good system, we have a no better picture than one that happens in many of the European soccer clubs yep. around the world yep. and what they do. Not just they're not soccer clubs, they're just sports clubs.
Yes.
And they bring in athletes for everything. FC Barcelona has also a basketball team that does fairly well. I bet you they have a bunch of others, like a handball team too. There's probably a Barcelona handball team. There's everything that they have that team. They have a sports entity. They realize what it is and they bring kids through their youth academies.
Yes.
And they don't put them through school. They teach them, obviously, the basics.
It's more of a trade at that point.
Exactly. These guys are apprentices. They're being, you know, essentially like, hey, you want to become this? This is what we have to do. We're going to take you underneath the ring. And if you're willing to dedicate your entire life to this, to actually become a pro, have that slim chance, we're providing you the pathway. Instead, it's like, hey, you want to be a pro? Figure it out on your own, but still make us money.
I mean, I agree with the statement of the idea of them not needing to go to class, but also I do like the idea that if you sign a letter of intent to go to college, you know, you do need to...
You're signing up for all of it.
Yeah, you need to participate in the idea of going to school. Though it is BS, it's completely BS, I do agree with that one fact of the whole thing.
Yeah.
So with the idea of, you know, players going directly overseas now, even though that is starting to become more of a viable option, it's nowhere near on the same scale as people going to college. So obviously more people than not are going to choose the system that's already in place.
Right.
I just think we need to find more options to couple with NCAA and going overseas in order to make
one of the
best it can be.
One of the rules, too, that a lot of people aren't talking about is the extension of scholarships with the NCAA. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you guys saw this, but this is actually a really cool rule that they're implementing. If you go on a full scholarship as an athlete, do 2 years and say, you know, you're a high-quality draft pick or whatever, and you leave to go to a league, within 10 years, you can come back to that school and still have your scholarship in place and have
That's
free
cool.
tuition,
That's
free good. Books, yeah. free mm-hmm. school to get your degree finished,
and
which I think is really cool.
And a lot of those big Power 5 conferences already have those in place in their lifetime scholarship. So that's pretty cool to see. Like Duke, Zion has a full ride scholarship. He'll have it for the rest of his life if he wants to come back to Duke. So stuff
right.
like
well,
that
and
is
you see, you, like you said,
available.
There's the 1% that's obviously doesn't need to go to class. They're
right.
they're in this
yep.
trade for the rest of their life. But there's those in-betweeners that, you know, can maybe do 2-3 years in the league and maybe fall out or
yeah.
whatever it is, you know, and it gives them the opportunity to go back and still educate
and actually
themselves
learn
and have
something
a career.
And get a career outside yeah. of their prospective sport. Yeah, I mean, we've talked ad nauseum on this show about the corruption going on with NCAA and how it's just an unfair system, man. But I do think that things like a lifetime scholarship, as they're at least steps in the right direction to kind of correct this. But, like, seriously, let's just pay these guys. I mean, let them at the very least, can't they earn money off
yeah.
their likeness? This
they
is
should
ridiculous.
Be able to do that 100%.
You like should be able yeah. to go sell jerseys, autographed jerseys, and get paid. This is America.
I mean, I feel you, but it's not fair to everyone, and that's a valid argument. You know,
but at the same point, like
if you're more popular than I am, you're going to be able to make your rent with your likeness, while I'm going to be able to buy Burger King.
Yeah, but that's a free market, right? If I'm better at the same job than you, then I'll probably demand more money, right?
Yeah, I mean, depending on what, I don't know, because like what system in America right now is a free market, if any? You know what I mean? So like, how are we going to take that system and put it into?
I mean, granted, the whole idea, we're based on the idea of you actually implement it. No, because
we know it's not free. Right. Yeah, you know what I mean? So it's like, how are we going to take this idea that we don't use in any type of structure in our lives and take it and apply it to basketball or football or, you know, top tier sports? It's a good idea.
Yeah. So you just want everyone to have an equal play no matter what in the league then?
No, I know. That's not necessarily my point, but it's just like, if we're going to give people money for being athletes, you know, it needs to be somewhat fair to everybody.
But we're,
because not everybody's going to be Zion and not everybody's going to be LaMelo Ball.
Yeah, but we're not giving them money. I mean, there's still the full scholarship. There's still those avenues for people. But the people that are, you know, the Zions that are obviously that top tier, why can't they go out outside of school and have, you know, an endorsement deal or a
commercial in their local
commercial
community.
Or have be in a college video game, or you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, the idea of amateurism, jeez,
nice.
In major college sports is kind of a joke. I hear what you're saying, but I also think that yeah, it's not fair. But the system is to everyone. But the system is fair to none of the athletes at this point. At least at this point, you can use your skill, your work, all that, and actually collect a paycheck. And I think that's fair, because if you're on a full ride scholarship, you can't even get a part-time job if you want to work for a Foot Locker in the off season. That's not even a thing. So you have the scholarship money that you get, and that's it, you know. And I think if you want to go sign some autographs on a Saturday, make a couple thousand so you can go out with some buddies or do whatever you want to do, help your mom pay rent, whatever the case may be, then you should be able to. That's my personal view on it, but this has been an argument that we've had on this show for years, and that's been going on long before this show. So I have nothing else on it. If you guys do, speak your piece. Otherwise, let's move on to more fun topics.
I will say one last thing on
yes.
it. I truly get what you're saying. It's unfair in the system that, you know, not getting paid, someone getting paid more.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel in its unfairness of someone getting more than because we're worth it, that's the most fair way to do it. Like, no one gets involved whatsoever, so you can get whatever you can out of your own doing. So it's fairest to you as an individual. So I think that's where it kind of comes into. It's like, you have your chance yourself to make something of it, opposed to someone deeming what your worth is.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I just think, like, you know, like, I would compare it to, like, a service job in the service industry. Like, you know, a waiter that's better than this waiter, he's going to get tipped more, usually.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, their base pay is the same.
Agreed.
No doubt. Yeah.
So, I mean, for being better, you deserve better, 100%. But at the end of the day, if what we're receiving at the beginning isn't the same, then...
So are you saying, like, for the colleges giving them should be the exact same, but anything they get outside of that can be different?
I think
the idea is for the colleges to contribute a certain amount on top of scholarship money throughout the year, though, because, I mean, the year is longer than 10 months.
I mean, the basic living costs should be completely covered by the schools 100%. Basically, like basic living costs. Like,
yeah,
you know,
they should have a base. I agree that D1 athletes should have a baseline income, especially if you're on, like I said, if you're on full scholarship, you can't work part time. So, and it could be pennies. It could doesn't have to be a ton of money. But March Madness, the NCAA made $1 billion off one month, one tournament of basketball. They made $1 billion. They can figure out how to give some of that bread back to the kids.
I just feel like they have a department that determines how much money comes from each department. Then you can pretty much determine how much money your department's worth based on what that means.
Yeah.
So your sports department, probably one of your largest departments, you can divvy that up amongst your employees, quote unquote, and actually give them something. That's your labor right there.
Yeah, agreed.
All right.
It's not that difficult, y'all.
Let's talk some football. This Antonio Brown story is hilarious to me for so many reasons. So the NFL has recently deemed several football helmets, what, illegal, I suppose? No, they're no longer
unsafe.
Unsafe.
They just discontinued
them. Discontinued several NFL football helmets. Tom Brady is one person who will no longer be able to wear the football helmet that was grandfathered in last year. And Antonio Brown is another athlete of note who will no longer be able to wear this football helmet. Antonio Brown has threatened to retire, saying that he's got over $100 million in his career. He's $30 million cash positive right now. And if he can't use his old helmet, then he may quit. the best part
Boss
of this...
Boss move right there.
The best part of this story to me was the fact that he took his old helmet, painted it, and tried to get away with it. And someone's like, nah, bro, those aren't the right colors. That silver is slightly off. It's just a great Antonio Brown move. So let's discuss this. John, you and I were discussing this a little bit earlier. What was your takeaway from all of this?
I mean, I get the safety point of view from the NFL. Obviously, the last decade, it's been somewhat out there trying to... I mean, obviously, the league hasn't done... You know, leaps and bounds to get better. But
can I jump in real quick? It's not a safety issue. It's a liability issue. Well, the NFL don't care about the safety of their players. They care about getting sued again. That's what they're worried about.
Right. But if you put things in place, I get Antonio Brown's side. Like, why can he not wear a helmet that he's worn for the last decade of his career? You know what I mean? If he wants to risk further or greater harm than wearing a proper helmet. But what's to say that this helmet, even though you're taking hits, what's to say it's not safe? I mean, he's complaining that he has his field of vision is completely changed and skewed based off the level of the helmet and the face mask. So as a receiver, that's kind of the most crucial asset. I mean, you want hands and routes and speed, but you want to be able to see. Like going across the middle, you want to be able to see that 6'4 linebacker that's about to take your head off. Like if his peripheral vision's skewed, who's to say we're not going to see even greater injury? You know what I mean? And it's like, why can't you just put in place a system like... So, like, let's go back to the restaurant industry. If you want to not take your break or any you know, job for that matter, if you do not want to take your mandatory 30-minute break, there's a thing you can sign, a waiver you can sign to work through your break to where you don't have to take overtime or take the 8 hours. Why can't there be something in place to be like, I'm going to wear this sketchy helmet because I've worn it my entire career, and if something happens to me, liability off you. It's on me.
I mean, I like that, but it almost defeats the point of making a rule. You know what I'm saying? We're going to make this rule, but if you say this, this, and this, you don't have to follow our rule at all. You know what I mean? Like, it's a good idea. Obviously, he's put in 10-plus years. Tom Brady's put in 10-plus years, but we see how the difference in how they're handling. Like, Tom Brady's still out there practicing, doing his thing.
Yeah, but Tom Brady is taking a two-step drop and throwing, you know what I mean? He's not catching a 50-mile-an-hour ball coming out his face. Like,
I mean, I agree, but I mean, vision, as far as vision, quarterback is the leading vision position. So, I mean, if we're talking about vision and different things like that, I think there's something they can do to compromise. I'm positive where they can break some elements of the old helmet with the new helmet and get this man on the field. I mean,
he's already come out today and
he lost his arbitration.
Yeah, he lost his arbitration and they said he won't be able to wear the helmet. So he's put out a post and said that he'll eventually be back healthy and looks forward to being back with his teammates. So,
yeah, it seems like it would be much easier, to your point, to just sign a waiver, let these players get grandfathered in. I remember back in the day, the NHL made all their players wear helmets. But if you were a player who did not wear a helmet,
recently, they
or
had
the face
mask.
Yeah, and you if you were a player who did not wear one, it was not enforced. You could play the rest of your career, and it was not enforced. It was just every player coming up through the ranks. And now it's becoming natural. Now every player has to wear them, so you just become used to them. But if you really think about it, what separates a lot of these players, right? Because Antonio Brown is arguably the best wide receiver, at least a top five wide receiver. I don't think anyone would say he's not a top five wide receiver. And if you think about what really separates Antonio Brown and the worst wide receiver in the league, it's a step. It's a quarter of a half of a second here. You know what I mean? It's really not a whole lot. These guys are all great athletes. So every one of these players is looking for any advantage they can get. That's why they work so hard. That's why they spend so much money in the offseason and time in the offseason training and all those things. So if you could find any advantage or anything throws you off slightly, It's kind of a big deal. So I get where Antonio Brown's coming from, but I also understand that this is incredibly unprofessional, but this is also what Antonio Brown does. He sat out the last game of the season when the Steelers were still in a playoff hunt last year. And how was he punished for that? He wasn't. He was rewarded with a brand new contract with a new team. So
it's classic Raiders.
Not surprising. Speaking of classic Raiders, we do have a new season of Hard Knocks on.
Best show on HBO.
Yeah.
I'm saying it right now.
I love Hard Knocks.
As a whole,
man.
Hard Knocks.
Yes.
It's like one of the reasons I got so stoked to get HBO in my life.
Agreed. And we were so, it was the first time I signed up for HBO that I was paying for it out of my own pocket. It was so I could watch Hard Knocks.
I was so disappointed when I saw the preview for Hard Knocks initially and realizing that it was on HBO and there was zero chance I could ever watch that. HBO was so far from my future at that point in time that.
But look at you now. Look at you now.
Yeah. I got it now.
The come up is real, y'all.
We were so excited about Hard Knocks that Jordan, John, and I all met up last night to watch the new episode, which doesn't premiere till Tuesday, but we are hyped anyway. So we linked up to our chagrin. We'll see it Tuesday. But let's play that John Gruden sound, shall we? No?
Why is it?
Okay. We won't play that John Gruden sound.
I'll work on this.
All right. Cool story.
However, first takes on it. I mean, what are your thoughts? First episode in.
I love Stoked John Gruden.
You love John Gruden?
Yeah. For all the flack he took last year for selling the house and still don't agree with the Khalil Mack whole thing, but you can't help but love the guy after one episode.
I'm scared for it a little bit because it looks like it has some remnants of some really bad Hard Knocks, and that's what scares me a little bit. They have some really just very completely blatantly set up situations with their family, and it just looks awkward as hell. Derek Carr and his wife, it was just like,
ugh.
Just like the situation they put him in. Hey, here's a little basketball hoop. Play ball with your kids right in the middle of the kitchen because that's what happens, right? Yeah. And hey, you, just stand there holding the baby, your wife, and just, yeah, you're just going to have a little situation right now. It just felt weird. And I'm scared that they're going to be doing that, and I don't like when Hard Knocks does.
I got to say, this seems like this might be the worst season I've seen in a while.
As far as the
you
quality.
You said that 15 minutes into the first episode, and then halfway through you said it was the greatest Hard Knocks you've
ever. I don't remember saying the latter. Does anyone else remember?
I clearly remember you saying it's the worst. I never heard you say it was the best.
Yeah, I don't remember saying that at all.
Please.
Derek, you were there.
I can't say it.
But I mean, infamously, most of the teams that do Hard Knocks aren't good football teams overall in, like, football, actual football. Yeah. So, I mean, when we're watching this, we are watching it for the entertainment value. I don't think anybody expects the Oakland Raiders to be great this year.
Okay, well, we did have this sound from John Gruden. Let's go.
Everybody right now has dreams, don't they, guys? I said it to the rookies, all right? Everybody in the NFL, I have a dream of making it in the NFL. I got a dream of winning a Super Bowl. I got a dream of being in a Pro Bowl. I'm really not into dreams anymore, okay? I'm into nightmares. You guys with me on that? Yeah. You got to end somebody's dream. You got to take their job. You got to take their heart. Are you guys clear about this NFL now? We're not trying to go to the Peach Bowl. We're not trying to go to the Gator Bowl. Or the Blue Bonnet Bowl, we're trying to go to the Super Bowl, okay? And to do that, you got to really try to end somebody's dreams. Are you clear on that, Farrell?
Woo!
God. Come on, man.
I'm ready to lace them up right now.
You guys are all hyped. That was a lot of saying nothing to me. Honestly, he doesn't say anything.
Every great pep talk is a lot of saying nothing.
You know what? That's good.
That is all it is. I'm going to say a bunch of fluff
two in the
to
hand.
Make you feel better about yourself.
That is a good
See,
point.
See, when you go out there and you come out in charge, you're good to go.
The greatest football speech of all time is Al Pacino.
I was going to say the inches.
Oh. Yeah.
The inches. Any given Sunday.
Yeah, that's the greatest football speech
of
all time.
That's also from an actor.
Yeah.
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 No, I get it.
And he practiced the hell out of that monologue. That was nice.
Like, I mean, I wonder if you ever crafted any, like, real speech out there that's really could top Al Pacino's, like, legitimate speech. Is there any real
what
speech
about,
that happened?
Who's the famous Bill Notre Walsh? Dame coach?
Rudy
Gipper.
Yeah, go win one for the Gipper.
Not I never Bach, saw bro. Rudy.
No. I don't know. I like that one. Old time football one where he's like, "There's a gleam, man." This is I think it's like Bill Belichick or something like not Bill Belichick.
Bill Parcells.
No, the old coach for the Ravens when like Ray
Bill Belichick.
Yeah, I think it was like Bill
Brian Billick.
Brian Billick.
I think it was like Brian Billick when he was like coaching like the Browns in like the 90s or something like that. And he was like, "There's a gleam, man." And it was just talking about, like, you know, the gleam of, like, the Super Bowl trophy, and he just went into this whole thing. Pretty dope.
All right, we got to look that one up, too. Those speeches do get me fired up. I'm not saying I wasn't fired up. I actually have already created a drop for my radio show using that. But I'm just saying, Gruden says absolutely nothing. There's dreams. I'm not about dreams. I'm about bleeping nightmares. Sounds cool. Means nothing.
Well, I think it's in the perspective of, you know, it's that kind of pamperedness of, like, yeah, like, you know, go chase your dreams.
Sure.
It's like, no, get out here, get hungry, get after someone's job. Mm-hmm. You know, because that's what it really, I mean, that's what training camp's about. You have, you know, 70 dudes and you got to get down to a 53-man roster.
Don't get me wrong. It got me hyped. He just doesn't say anything. I think we all can agree.
Yeah, but again, that's what a good pep talk
says. That's what motivational speaking is.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
This is what I...
Yeah. A lot of vague talking. Hopefully somebody gets it.
Like, that resonated with you?
Oh, all right, sweet. All right, we're on to something.
Right. I got it.
I'll be here next week.
Oh, y'all feeling me?
It's all about playing to people's feelings. And what are feelings? Very irrational.
That's fair. This is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico. We are listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Talking about Practice Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show. Your man Jarrell Gilbert alongside me, Derek Isamaki, Jordan Booth, John Lucan, and Statman Brad. Talking about practice is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Duffy's Tavern, a local Chico tradition since 1989, offering a true 16-ounce pint of Guinness on tap, a full bar, and Chico News and Review's favorite Bloody Mary. Duffy's is located on the corner of 4th and Main and is open daily 11 a.m. till 2 a.m. and on the weekends, noon until 2 a.m. Thank you to Duffy's. Thank you to Mountain Sports, and most importantly, people, thank you to you for spending an hour of your evening listening to this ridiculous show. Do we have anything else on football? We did get preseason week one. Do you guys have any takeaways?
Wait, football happened?
Yeah.
Oh.
You're not watching?
I mean, all the rookie quarterbacks look good.
Daniel
Jones look good. Kyler Murray look good.
Yeah.
I feel like Haskins got a little overshadowed just because of playing Cleveland the first week and kind of the storyline and with Baker Mayfield and everything with that. But he still looked great.
Yeah.
Still went out there, had a couple.
Dude, I'm actually looking forward to next season. Lamar Jackson.
Yes.
I don't know, man. I like that.
That'll be interesting to see.
He's fun.
I said at the start of last year, because I have a bunch of my buddies back home that are Ravens fans for some reason. And I said, you know, halfway through the season, Lamar Jackson. I just want to say I'm the last one laughing now.
Joe Flacco is now a Bronco, right?
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
I mean, I'll give you that. Yeah.
I don't even know about that.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Flacco was garbage.
Case Keenum
right
was solid. Flacco has not been good in.
I mean,
since
Flacco's
the Super
only
Bowl.
Good thing is his deep ball, which will be nice in Denver.
Keenum was trash last year.
How well did he do last year?
He did
not very well.
But the year before, he was fire.
Yeah, with a number one defense behind him.
In
the Vikings?
He was slinging that thing.
He had two really good receivers,
to Diggs
as well.
And
D-Lane.
And Rudolph.
Some good running game as well.
Yeah.
That's true.
He had some help.
I'm excited. Coming up this season, just to see what the Jags are going to be with Nick Foles, because I feel just a couple years ago, had they had anyone competent as quarterback, they would have beat the Patriots and they would have been in the Super Bowl. But they had Blake Bortles, and then they decided to extend his contract, which was
$53 million.
Is he still on the team?
Yes.
Is he?
No.
Bortles
is on.
Oh, that's right. It's
the Rams.
Isn't it Gabbert now? No. It's Foles.
Yeah, I just said that.
Oh, where have you been, Derek?
I don't pay attention. You guys know that.
I think you're just concussed.
Right. Yeah.
Probably.
Should not have been sleeping.
Too many left hooks.
You would have been fine if you had Antonio Brown's old helmet.
He's with the Rams now.
He's on the Rams?
Bortles is with the Rams now.
Okay, for those of you who aren't aware, Derek took a pretty nasty spill on his bike. I thought you were going to come in looking like Two-Face. It's really not that bad.
I thought I was going to look like the Elephant Man. You look all right.
Yeah. You don't look bad.
I don't feel that good.
Oh, your head, forehead swollen?
You haven't seen look at the right side of his face. You're sitting on the left side.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That O means it's not great for our radio
it's
audience.
It's not that bad, but it's not great either.
He looked like he rubbed some dirt in it.
Stepman Brad, you got a North State update for the people?
I do.
He's got facts. He's got stats. And his name is Brad. It's time for Statman Brad's North State Update.
All right, y'all, it's time for the North State Update. This week we have volleyball's schedules coming out. So first we're going to go into prep volleyball. And we're going to start out with Chico High. Not much on Max Preps, and I looked on their website, couldn't find much of a schedule there. But I know their first game is August 24th against Amador and Quincy in a Chico High tournament. Again, once again, that's August 24th. That'll be a Saturday at Chico High for the tournament. And once again, I looked as far as I could, but couldn't find much else on their schedule for this year. They only had 8 games on Max Preps. But now going to Pleasant Valley, they put 27 games on their schedule, a full schedule. Their first game will be at Ponderosa, August 23rd. Some big games they're going to have is actually a couple days later against Del Oro at Del Oro in Loomis, California. They got a very, very heavy schedule in the beginning, playing against some big teams around California. And the big game, though, the rivalry game, is going to be October 8th. Against Chico High at PV. The next game after that against Chico is going to be at Chico October 24th. So that's something to look forward to. Now going to Chico State, they will be starting out their year at the Hawaii Challenge in Honolulu, first against Minot State, and then Hawaii Hilo, Hawaii Pacific, then Chaminade University, all those being played. Chaminamana. Yes.
LA?
No,
high school?
Yeah, I believe that's not the high school.
Oh, we're talking.
No, we're talking about Chico State.
Ah, gotcha.
We're at Chico State right now. So Chico State's going
to
be playing against.
Listen to Brad, Derek.
Yeah, it's all right. You
I don't
know,
listen to anybody. Okay, just in all fairness, not just Brad.
Yeah, this it's not, nothing it's against not Brad. Brad.
Yeah, no, it's just this is a time for everyone to kind of take a break, go get a coffee break, and then come back when the radio show starts back up again.
But not the listener.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
you are the radio show, Brad.
Thank you. So yes, they're going to have the Hawaii Challenge, and after that one, it's going to be the D2 West Region Volleyball Showcase at La Jolla. They'll be playing Montana State Billings, St. Martin's from Washington, Academy of Art, and Concordia out of California. Then they'll be starting regular season play. So hopefully they'll be able to do as well as they did last year. It was a little bit of a struggle at the end of it all, but had a good squad. They're looking to have a good year. So that is my North State update, and we will hopefully be going to the Paradise game in 2 weeks. Working on that, and we will hopefully have some more stuff later.
That's my North State update.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's my North State update.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Let's get to the trending topics of the day.
When news breaks in the tri-state area or the world.
All right, y'all. It's time for the news. Now, I guess I'm going to start off happy and then end with the eccentric.
Any
because, you know, why not? We'll start on a happy note right now. Jeffrey Epstein is dead. And this is one of the craziest stories that is going on in American history right now. In the news at this moment. I'm 100% in the conspiracies right now. I'm telling you right now. And I can't wait for the movie to come out. That being said, there's some really scary stuff that's going on in this world, and he had a big say in it. And it's scary to know that he committed suicide, quote-unquote. The autopsy came out today. They aren't releasing the cause of death yet, so we'll see. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I know who that is, but for the listeners that maybe don't, can you explain who that
yeah,
is?
And can what ask him for a friend.
Yeah. For those of you unaware, Jeffrey Epstein was a financier in what has become a rather alleged large pedophile ring. There is a lot of money that took place in it, a lot of abuse that took place as well, and it involved a lot of highly profile people on both sides of the part, on both sides. So, the guy had a lot of damning evidence for a lot of people out there, a lot of powerful people in this country. Again, allegedly.
Glad we're starting on such a positive
note.
This is great. Possible murder-suicide situation. We're not sure. Pedophilia.
Guy was in.
So we're starting the news, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen. Yes.
He was in, obviously in jail at this point in time. He had his cell rate removed hours before his alleged suicide happened.
Oh, weird. How bizarre.
Yes.
What a coincidence.
And didn't he have his suicide watch taken away from
him? Yes, he had that taken away for hours before that ever happened. So a lot of things are building up for... it doesn't look good, y'all. And that's where I live in. The not-so-good land. For me, there's joy in there. I don't know about you guys. Spiders are pretty scary to me. I'm not the best with spiders. At the same time, I respect them. I, for the most part, believe spiders are better for us than to not have because they take care of a lot of those more annoying things. If you leave them off in their corners, they're good to go. I believe in live and let live society. However, there is a... That's about to question if I was living in Colorado because apparently there's going to be a mass migration of tarantulas into the Colorado grasslands. Why? Because these guys just want to get it on. That's right. Roughly 10-year-old male tarantulas have such a libido that causes them to travel miles, miles across land just to produce an offspring that they will not take care of whatsoever.
Because
that's
so
the way the natural order works, y'all. People sounds traveling
like
miles.
Yeah, sounds like my upbringing.
Yeah. traveling miles to get it on, only to just live and let live.
Well,
so that's a spider world.
Well, I mean, Chico State's starting up soon, so I mean, there's that as well.
Ooh, I'm confused.
I know you're just
what?
People travel miles.
Brad, enough
okay.
with that.
All right, I'm on timeout. You're on timeout. Get out.
Get out of there.
You gotta go.
That was
you
a big
go.
Leap, man. A big leap.
Yeah, no
I appreciate
one,
the effort.
No one connected the dots. No, yeah, just
enough with the Brad jokes.
Enough with the Brad jokes. Yeah.
But here's a story that caught my eye that was actually kind of heartwarming in some weird way for me. A message in the bottle was actually found.
What?
I know. An Alaskan man, I really picked the story because of the name of this town, Shishmaref, mm-hmm. Alaska. It looks better than it sounds, I feel,
you
in
can't
my head.
Even pronounce
I'm not,
the name
I don't think I am, but
for.
I really wish I knew the way to. It's S H I S H M A R E F.
That sounds right.
That sounds about right.
That sounds right.
It sounds, I don't know, I feel like it's Shishmaref. The way probably the locals say it's way cuter. Either way. Tyler Ivanov found a message in the bottle while he was collecting wood near the shore. Now, the bottle and the message in it was written in Russian. Ivan, I would think by his last name, Ivanov would read Russian, but he doesn't. So he posted it online, and he got a translation sent to him saying, "Best greetings from the Russian fleet of the Far Eastern Shipping Company, Fleet VRHF from vessel Sulak. I welcome you who found this bottle. Please inform us at the Vladikavkaz vessel Sulak." I'm saying that all wrong, I know. "To the entire crew, we wish you good health, long life, and happy sailing. 26-1969.
Oh, that's cool.
Wow. So exactly 50 years later, this bottle was found into hands. We don't know if it crossed anyone else. Probably not, because I'm sure if someone found that, they would keep it. That's a pretty cool thing to find. And from Russia, traveling roughly 2,000 miles.
Wow. It's pretty cool.
Granted, terrible note. Like, I wanted shipwrecked. Like, that's what I was hoping for. Like, yeah. SOS. Like, oh, man. Abandon all hope. Please, you know, found.
There's a treasure based off.
But no,
of
this guy was just having a good time. Yeah. And actually, so kind of the story does come full circle as the story did reach over into Russia. And they found the dude who wrote that note.
No.
Dead serious.
He was dead?
No. Oh. Dead serious. As they did find him.
Oh.
And he was alive and well at 86. Anatoly Botanenko was the man who dropped the bottle when he was 36 years old. Which cool little moment right there, guys.
That is cool.
Yeah.
That is really cool.
So, yeah, there's the news, y'all. You're welcome.
Thank you, sir.
I'm kind of bummed. I need some more Florida people next week, man.
Can we get Florida Man?
I will. Yeah. They've been kind of quiet lately. That's the weird thing.
That is weird.
It's a little something big's about to happen.
Yeah, they're
in hibernation.
Yeah, I feel like there's something. They're just kind of staying indoors because it's really hot and sticky out there right now.
So I mentioned at the top of the show that one thing that Derek and I absolutely love to do is hate on things. So with no further ado, ladies and gentlemen, the Player Haters Ball.
The Player Haters Ball.
Oh, man. Hey.
Why you wanna play hate on me?
That's right, everybody. Like I mentioned, we enjoy hating on things around these parts. And one thing I would like to hate on today, Snapchat filters. Now, social media for years now has kind of blended the line between reality and, well, not reality.
Oh my goodness.
Fantasy.
Wow. Oh, that was mind-blowing right there.
Can you guys tell I wrote this one out and spent a lot of time on this one?
Doing a great job.
Yeah, I'm just going to put my notes away because I really just wrote down social media and that's all that's in my notes. But this all got spurred this weekend as I was going through Snapchat and I was seeing all the filters, people putting filters on their kids, which I actually kind of enjoy. I think it's funny when your kid has like a scary face or the puppy ears and all that. I think that's funny because kids kind of freak out and don't really know what's happening. Tricking kids is always fun. We have an entire holiday dedicated to that. But
put it on Saturdays.
Agreed. I just want to send a message to all my fellas out there. If you put a beauty filter on, I'm sorry, bro. You deserve to get destroyed by all friends and family and disowned by your parents. A beauty filter, my dog. One of my buddies put a beauty filter on, and I had to rain on him. Oh, my God. The amount of text messages, he finally just texted me back, come on, man, stop. And I was like, I will not. It is my mission now to clown you for the next hour, bro. And one, you didn't have to admit it to me because I already knew. It took him about 30 texts before he would be like, yeah, dude, fine. Yeah, I did. Whatever. I did it for the ladies. No, the ladies know what you're doing, too. And ladies don't respect it either. A beauty filter, fam. A beauty filter.
The only way a guy's face should ever be in a beauty filter, or many filters to begin with on Snapchat, is when you're in the background of your girl's
video. Of girls taking a picture or video.
That's
yep.
it.
Yep. If you are taking a selfie and you are a man and you apply the beauty filter, you are not a friend of mine. Ladies and gentlemen, the Player Haters Ball.
Preach, baby. I'm all about it.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. I got there's a lot.
The drastic stop.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're done. We're done here.
We're done here. I think I've said my piece. You know, don't do it. We don't need it.
Appreciate it.
It's not a good look. Do you have a foot and mouth?
I do, actually.
Yeah. Excellent. We'll just rapid fire all these segments back into the show. That's what we do, baby. Oh, wait. That's not the right one. Here's the right drop.
And now it's time we take a deep dive into the world of soccer with the man responsible for such flashes of brilliance as
39 was last year and he could barely like throw a ball out at a barnside.
It's time for Derek Izumaki's Foot in Mouth.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
That's
yo.
Right, yo. That's right,
yo. No need to say anything more right now. Football is back.
Football is back.
Football is back.
Football.
Football.
The right
is legitimately back. The preseason's over with. The Premier League has begun.
That's correct.
Begun in stunning style. If you're a Man City fan, you're screaming the name Raheem Sterling.
Sterling!
If you're a Liverpool fan, you're screaming Salah.
Salah!
Tottenham, Kane.
Kane!
And if you're Chelsea, you're screaming,
why me?
Man, you destroy that. Oh my goodness, 4-0 opening day at Old Trafford. Chelsea didn't know what hit them. Woo-hoo. Poor start. Unfortunately for the team that acquired America's sweetheart in the world of football, Christian Pulisic looked absolutely, not him in particular, the team did as a whole. 4-0 to Man United. Not a good start to the season.
Did he play, though?
He came in.
Oh, okay.
Yes, but, I mean, it was a very lackluster because of how much...
I don't know what happened there, sorry.
How much they destroyed him by... I mean, Marcus Rashford went amok. Looks like they have a special talent... Some upcoming talent, the way they've moved their team around, it is actually going to be a fun time if you're a Man United fan. I feel the way that...
I'm excited.
If they truly let their midfield, Paul Pogba in particular, do what he does, which is take that ball and run up the field with it and just have offensive possession in him instead of being a defensive guy, you'll have a great run. And he can do that for you. It was great to see just this actual type of football back, because this is the real stuff right now. And it's woke up for it. In my bludgeoned head state, I still got up and watched football.
Because you know the priorities.
Yes, I had to. If I didn't, I would feel guilty that I'm, this is the start of the season right now. How could one not get himself on there?
I'd honestly be concerned if you didn't watch it.
Yeah, I would have been scared for myself. The head injury probably wasn't real at that point in time. But yeah, Pulis just came in on the 58th minute.
Okay.
It's great to have a legitimate American out there in the Premier League and actually in a big top flight talent club as Chelsea is.
And we had one with Tim Howard, right?
Tim Howard was the goalkeeper for Everton for many years and was one of their honestly best goalkeepers during his time at Everton. But again, Everton was never, if they cracked the top six, that would be a great season for them.
Okay, yeah.
They had very little chance.
And as a goalie, it's not that kind of premier position. Not,
exactly. Unless you're on one of those top flight teams where you get the highlight and whatnot. So, but he did make his time over there. I mean, what's his name? Dempsey was over in Fulham for a time and had success over there as well. So he's not the first to do it, nor he'll be the last, hopefully.
Hopefully.
Once we see him going, I think it'll be nice. They'll get him loose, because in the preseason he did have some great fun. You saw them how he opened up. The guys, if they, granted, it's going to be see how he plays against the talent of the Premier League. The Premier League is known as a very rough, very physical league where defense takes
precedent.
Thank you. That's what I'm looking for. It takes precedent. So they value that a lot. But if he can come in there and score goals, obviously they will love him. If he doesn't, they will hate him. They're very just like that. You do good, we'll love you. If not, you'll be hated.
Kind of like New York somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They're all ruthless and just like New York, but
worse.
And New York's the worst. That and Philly were probably the two worst, the most excruciating fans, I feel.
For the Americans, yeah.
For us on this side, yeah. And they all of them are like that. Ruthless. They're all about it. Also, Ligue 1 took place as well, so PSG is back in action. I know no one cares about that. I won't go into that at all.
All right. Yeah.
But yes, Premier League is back, y'all. That means that pretty soon we're going to be having European football going on, meaning Champions League. Cannot wait. I mean, if it was anything like last year's, it's going to be a season to behold, because last year was spectacular, and I just... The way that the teams have changed around and the way they're still yet to change. There's still a lot of news of Neymar leaving PSG, possibly going to Real Madrid now. The new rumors running amok. When it comes to the free agent off market, no one does it quite like football with the amount of news and sheer movement that happens in an offseason.
You think the NBA free agency season is crazy?
Like, they just started tapping into what they're doing.
Yes,
over exactly. in the European football world, because those guys are passed around like a $2 whore.
All righty then. That didn't get your attention.
That's foot in mouth, y'all.
This is talking about practice.
Oh boy. All right.
Do we talk about baseball?
Baseball's happening.
Yep. And the Giants are somewhat slipping. The last time we talked.
Yeah, that's enough baseball talk.
Hey, it's me. Knock, knock. So, you got my money? You gonna give me my money? Where's my money, man? You know my name now. Give me my money.
Yes. The real football is back. American football.
That's such the American thing to say right there.
It is, yeah.
And when a sport around was a lot because around now a lot it's a longer time, before this sport.
Now it's a time to be a degenerate. And I'm going to suck you guys all in this year on my degeneracy.
You're going to suck us in?
And, Derek, will you just stop it? All right. So we got preseason. We got preseason football already started, which means let the sports betting commence. You know what I mean? You know what I mean, Derek? I'm getting you involved this year. All right. So, preseason, we got 3 weeks left. I want to do a little fun betting between the group. We're going to pull a random scheduled game this week out of a hat, and we're going to go down the list. You guys got to take the game either for the plus or for the minus. Best record, worst record at the end of the 3 weeks. Owes us something.
Well, some punishment that will never be paid, I'm sure, because this whole entire group owes some punishment.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure I'm punishment free.
I would say same here.
Same.
Let's
get it going. We're gonna go around the table here. We're gonna start with Jordan. Give me a number between 1 and 16. We have 16 games this week.
Number nine.
All right. You have Miami versus the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Tampa Bay is favored 3.5. So they are -3.5.
I'm taking Tampa Bay.
Taking Tampa Bay. All right. Give me a number, Derek.
9.
It's off the table. Every number but 9, Derek.
11.
All right, 11. You got the New England Patriots versus the Tennessee Titans.
Ooh, go Titans.
And the Patriots are -3.
Who's home? Titans?
Titans.
Titans are home.
But keep in mind, you know, this is preseason. Yes. So when you have like New England Titan Patriots, you know, you're not going to get the Tom Brady. No, you need one drive and you're going to have backups. No. So.
So I'm going to say Titans at home.
Yeah, but that one drive by Tom Brady, they're going to score 21 points somehow. It's going to be so weird.
Yeah, they might, yeah.
You get a touchdown.
All right.
Kickoff.
Any number but 9-11.
Now who's being insensitive? That wasn't even Derek. I'll take 3.
3. You have Cincinnati Bengals at the Washington Redskins.
I'll take Cincinnati.
Wow. All right. And Brad. Last one.
7.
You have the Buffalo Bills at the Carolina Panthers. Carolina is favored 3.
Oh, Panthers.
Panthers, all right.
These are like this the easiest like marks for them, I feel. Like the
preseason.
Yeah. All getting
they're very generous
their
right
team.
Now.
I'm going to laugh if you guys all lose your bets.
Okay, then what's yours?
Who are you taking?
I don't know the numbers here. I'm just going to take
sure you do.
Give me
even
5.
You wrote them.
Give me 5.
Green Bay versus Baltimore. Baltimore -4.5.
I'm taking Baltimore.
All right.
All right, and we're going to come back to this next week, and we're just going to humiliate Derek as he's constantly losing every single bet.
How dare you?
I mean, it's just going to happen, dude.
No, not at all.
You know?
No.
Sexy. All right, let's do some rapid fire, shall we? Because we don't have much time. We have about 5 minutes, and we have some topics to get to. You were saying about baseball?
Yeah. So, I mean, we have the...
So what happened with the Pan America Games where the American athletes wanted to protest on the podium?
Yeah.
I don't know this
That one I didn't put up.
No, I did. Yeah, I did. Yeah, so we had two separate athletes, both gold medalists in the Pan American Games. One was fencing. The other one was the hammer toss. But both American athletes, one took a knee on the podium. The other one put a fist into the air. And they are looking at being sanctioned right now by the Olympic Committee. And have risked their Olympic hopes for 2020 or 2022.
Interesting.
Now, can you explain the Pan American Games?
So the Pan American Games is it's a world championship, mm-hmm. like it's you know the step below an Olympic
event. Okay,
basically the Olympics just not in one of the 4 year increments.
Exactly.
The Diet Olympics.
Yeah. Pretty much means we don't care about it because we only care about the Olympics.
Yeah, but I mean, you look at. Just back in history of, you know, Tommy Smith and John Carlos, you know, in the Pan American Games in 1960s, you know, doing their prolific, you know.
Wasn't that an actual Olympics, though?
No.
I'm pretty sure it was.
The Olympics in Mexico?
Yeah.
All right. Well, anyways.
It can happen there.
Looking back, it's idolized. You know what I mean? It's a very historic moment for our country. And now you have, I get the both sides of why people are upset. But I thought it was cool. One of the protesters said, you know, it was in relation to gun violence and political views on our, you know, president and where we are right now. So I think it's cool to keep seeing after this, you know, Kaepernick and, you know, the NFL, it hasn't died. You know, people are still putting their voice out there and getting their platform, you know, heard, you know, being on a platform, being heard. No?
Legitimately on a platform.
A little podium, technically, bro. Yeah. Jeez.
Platform, podium, they're very similar, okay?
Yeah. I think they're fairly synonymous.
Yeah, I would put them in. Yeah. I'm with Brad on that.
Do you have anything you want to hate on?
Yeah, please.
All right, we have 2 minutes left of the show, and this is my favorite segment. What really grinds my gears? With Derek Ismaki.
You know what really grinds my gears?
When you're standing in a line, and the person at the, I guess, pinnacle of that line... talking to the person that they have to deal with, starts chit-chatting with them for no reason, and there's a long line behind them. It's like, no, let's keep it going, y'all. Like, let's now's not the time
just 'cause you're
to find out what's going on in each other's lives, how we're doing, how's the day, why are you so sad? I don't give a flying. No, we keep it going, especially at the DMV and stuff. Gosh, we're all there for one specific reason, to get in and get out.
None of us want to be there.
No.
Yeah,
I'm sorry that you have to work in that place. That's rough. I get it. So no one's like, but don't try to make me suffer along with you in your hellhole, please.
Agreed.
No, this is not what I need in my life.
Grinds my gears.
When you're watching a movie and there's some entity, usually a superhuman or super freak nature, that is invulnerable to bullets, yet people continue to shoot at them.
Yeah.
So you just see the fact that your bullets.